بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقهم السيئات ومن تق السيئات يومئذ فقد رحمته وقال تعالى نسوا الله فنسيهم وقال تعالى أم حسب الذين اجترحوا السيئات أن نجعلهم كالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سواء محياهم ومماتهم ساء ما يحكمون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, once a person came to Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه, and he asked him a question. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is a very illustrious sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some time back we had discussed a biography of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala in detail. A young sahabi in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Absolutely brilliant. He is the son of Abbas, who is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah is the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, without the request of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had deemed it appropriate and out of service and khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he placed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's water for wudu, for ablution, his musalla, his miswak, he got everything ready for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone to make istinja. When he returned, he finds everything placed and kept ready for him. So obviously this delighted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It made him happy. So he asks, who has placed everything, kept it ready for me? Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was a young sahabi. Young sahabi. In fact, in one narration, Rasulullah addresses him as Ya Bunayya, O lad. So he says, I did so. Rasulullah gave him such a dua, such a dua on this little service of his, this khidmat of his. He made a dua for him, Allahumma allimhu al-kitaba wal-hikmah. In one riwayat, Allahumma faqihu fi deen. Wallah, give Abdullah bin Abbas the understanding of deen. The deep, profound understanding of deen. Not the superficial understanding of deen. Tafaqquh. And Wallah, give him the understanding of Quran and hikmah. Imbibe him with wisdom. Give him the understanding of sunnah. So such was the caliber of this sahabi, Abdullah bin Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala, who is getting this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma faqihu fi deen. Allahumma allimhu al-kitab wal-hikmah. Allah bestow him with the knowledge of Quran. So he became the leader of the mufassirin. He became the leader of the commentators of the Quran. And therefore we find many verses. And the tafsir is given by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. So this person comes to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and asks him a question. He poses a question. He says, رَجُلٌ قَلِيلُ الْعَمَلِ كَثِيرُ قَلِيلُ الْعَمَلِ قَلِيلُ الذُّنُوبِ أَعْجَبُ إِلَيْكَ أو رَجُلٌ كَثِيرُ الْعَمَلِ كَثِيرُ الذُّنُوبِ. The question is, a man who has performed besides his faraid, besides the compulsory acts, he has performed very little nawafil, very little optional ibadat, very little fasting, tahajjud, ishraq and other nawafil, sadaqat. But at the same time, he has indulged in very little sins. Is he more preferred to you? Or that person who besides his faraid has done abundant nawafil, kathirul amal, many hajj, umrah, zakat, sadaqat, and so much of charity and nawafil and ibadat, But at the same time, kathiru dhunub, he has committed many sins as well. So on the one hand, you've got a man who hasn't performed many optional ibadat, many nafil. And the other side, you've got a person who has performed many nawafil. But if you compare the both, the first person hasn't indulged in many sins, and the second one, he has indulged in many sins, but at the same time, a lot of ibadat as well. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, in two words he gives his opinion, his verdict. He says, La a'diru bis salama. I can never equate anything to something which is free and void of sins. Something which is safe from sins. In other words, a person who has committed lesser sins, then he is better than that person who has committed many sins, even though he may be performing a lot of nafil ibadat. Even though he may be doing a lot of good deeds, but because he has committed many sins, he has violated the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Therefore, the other person who may be weaker in optional prayer, in nafil, but he has not angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as the first person, his sayyat, his sins are lesser, therefore he is a better person. We have on numerous occasions emphasized the importance of turning to Allah, tawbah, istighfar, and the benefit of tawbah, and the vast mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzat. The abounding mercy of Allah. Allah's mercy knows no limits. You and I will confine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and restrict it just to ourselves. Like a Bedouin comes once and Rasulullah had performed salah, and after the salah, the Arabi, the Bedouin, shouts from behind, Allahumma arhamni wa muhammada wa la tushrik fi rahmatina ahada. Oh Allah, just shower your mercy upon me and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't join anybody else also in this mercy. Rasulullah said, no. You have constricted the mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzat. When Allah's mercy is so vast, and then he gave the example of how Allah's mercy comes on upon the entire mankind and even the animals, and the mother, the animal will not even hurt a little infant. And all this we see in the world, a person showing love to another person, and the muhabbat, and the mercy, and the kindness, and the favors we do. All this is just 1% of the mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzat, which He has sent down in the world. 99% of mercy Allah holds back for on the day of Qiyamah. So there is no doubt that the mercy of Allah is vast. And Allah will forgive, provided we seek Allah's forgiveness. But on the other hand, we have become very brazen and very bold in committing sins openly. And when a person indulges in sins, he does not realize the harms of sins, the misfortunes of sins, the harmful effects of sins, the damage it causes to him. In fact, Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned so many misfortunes of sins and harms of sins. And in his discussion, he has explained that the person can be deprived of tawbah even. Whilst the doors of tawbah are open, and the person, if he turns to Allah, before he passes away, not at the time of Sakrat, but before he leaves his world and he had made tawbah, Allah will accept his tawbah. But he says, when a person perpetrates in sins, he becomes very brazen and very bold. A time comes when his heart becomes so engulfed with sins, so corroded, so rusted, that he actually has put in front of him and Allah, or between him and Allah, he has put a hijab, a veil. And he has weakened his heart. And therefore he says, إِنَّ الْمَعَاصِي تُطْعِفُ الْقُلُوبِ. Sins, they weaken the heart. And it extracts from the person the irada of tawbah. The man doesn't ever think of making tawbah then. The desire of turning to Allah never comes to him. Therefore scholars have written that Sins are like poison in the body, the effects of poison in the body. If somebody has to tell us now, there's a bottle here, there's some mixture here, there's a drink here, if you take it, it will destroy every single cell of your body. Every single cell. It will cause extensive damage to your heart, to your liver, to your kidneys. The limbs of your body will not be able to function anymore. Will any person be so foolish to take that ointment or take that mixture and drink it? Take that drink and drink it? No. Just like that, sins have this poisonous effect on the heart of a person. And therefore it is imperative that we always understand the effects of sin so that we may refrain from sins. Many a times we feel that it's just a minor sin. Of course, ulama and scholars have categorized sins, major sins and minor sins. However, they have also mentioned, لا تنظر إلى صغر المعصية. Don't look at how minute and how small a sin may be. بل انظر إلى من عصيت. But look at the person who you have disobeyed, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he has mentioned that when will a person become so brazen, so bold and commit sins, so openly? And when will he have no haya left in his heart, in his life? When he is performing, when he is indulging in a sin, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says that don't have aman. Don't feel safe from the consequence of your sins. Don't feel safe about it. You should be aware of sins. He says, imagine a person commits a sin, and at the time when he's indulging in the sin, he does not even, his heart does not tremble out of the fear of Allah who is watching him. The same Allah who has provided for him, the same Allah who came to his rescue when he was very ill in hospital, and he forgot how he cried to Allah, and he begged from Allah, and he promised Allah. The same Allah who came to his rescue when he was in financial difficulties, when he was in debts. The same Allah who helped him when he had to go to court and stand before a judge. The same Allah who helped him when his child met with an accident. And we can go on enumerating things that we have faced ourselves in our lives. And how we turn to Allah, and how Allah helped us. And how Allah continues to help us. And how Allah provides for us. How Allah nourishes us. How Allah Ta'ala cares for us. So when we're committing the sin, when we're perpetrating the command of Allah, and we're so brazen about it and so bold about it, at that time we have qillatul haya in us. We don't even bother about the angels who are writing these sins out. And he says the person is laughing. He says he's laughing. When he's committing this, he is laughing, but he does not know. مَاذَا الَّذِي يَسْنَعُ اللَّهُ بِهِ What Allah will be doing to him on the day of Qiyamah. What will be his fate? What will be his result, his outcome? And he says, فَرْحُ He's excited and he's so overjoyed. He's in a state of ecstasy. Why? Because he feels he has achieved something. He was able to do a certain sin and he feels some type of accomplishment. May Allah protect us. And he says at the same time, the same person becomes sad when he loses the opportunity of committing that sin and indulging in that sin. He had planned to commit zina with a woman, and for some reason that thing did not work out, then he shows his remorse for missing that opportunity of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also when he's committing the sin, then he has some type of fear, not fear for Allah. He is afraid that no person may open the curtain, open the door suddenly and come in and catch him doing that act. So he is afraid that people may not see him. But he's not afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So therefore, these sins that we commit, Allah Rabbul Izzat said, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَجْسَرَعُ السَّيْعَاتِ Are those people who perpetrate sins, who indulge in sins, can they be equal to those who have iman and do righteous deeds? That they're living in this world, and they're dying in this world and going to the akhirah. Their life in this world, their life in the akhirah, can that be equal? Can that be the same? Sa'a ma yahkumun. Allah sees such analogy, reasoning, and such a verdict and opinion and decision and judgment is an evil one. It makes no sense. There's no logic behind it. When one is obeying Allah and one is disobeying Allah. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Qudsi, inni idha uti'tu raditu wa idha raditu baraktu wa laysa li barakati nihaya. When I am obeyed, Allah says, I become pleased. And when I am pleased, I give barakah, blessings. And we discuss this topic also. And there's no end to my barakah. I give you barakah in your life. I give you barakah in your family, in your children, in your business, in your health, in your wealth. In everything I give you barakah. There's no limit, Allah says. But the moment Allah says, وَإِذَا عُصِيتُ, when I am disobeyed, غَضِبْتُ, I become angry. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks and He overlooks and He overlooks sins. And He gives us so many chances and opportunities to make amends. But when a person persists in sin, then Allah says, now I become angry. وَإِذَا غَضِبْتُ لَعَنْتُ, when I become angry to that level, then I curse. And the hadith says that my curse, it is so severe that it goes generations long, 7 generations long. This curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still exists. May Allah save us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِيَّاكُمْ, as reported by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, إِيَّاكُمْ مُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ, that beware of treating sins to be very light and saghir. Why? Even though they may be small sins, minor sins, فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَجْمَعْنَ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ, they heap up, they pile up on a person, حَتَّى يُهْلِكْنَهُ, until it destroys the person. When a mu'min commits his sin, and then one black dot appears on his heart, and we've heard this hadith so many times, that one black spot appears on his heart. إِذَا تَابَ, the moment he makes tawbah to Allah, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ, he repents, then this repentance, this tawbah, and the dhikr he makes, it causes this black spot to disappear. It is polished, the heart shines again. But if this person continues sinning, وَإِنْ زَادَ زَادَتْ, if he continues sinning, زَادَتْ إِهَذِهِ النُّكْتَ السَّوْدَى, this black spot now increases, it enlarges, it grows bigger and bigger and larger and larger, حَتَّى تَعْلُوَ قَلْبَهُ, until it covers his whole heart. And this is exactly what Allah has mentioned, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The word rana, in Arabic rain, rainun means a rust, corrosion, blackness, darkness, that covers the entire heart. And this covering of the heart, Allama Ibn Qayyim has written it, and has given different descriptions of the heart, of a person who continues persisting in sins. It causes no frown on his face, no embarrassment, no haya. He doesn't feel ashamed. He becomes amongst those open sinners. And the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي مُعَافَى إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرُونَ, that every ummati of mine is forgiven, is pardoned, except those mujahirun. Who are the mujahirun? Are those people who commit sins at night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals, He hides the sin of this person. Nobody had seen him committing this sin. Allah, out of His grace and kindness and mercy, Allah concealed that sin. But this foolish person, he goes out in the morning, and this veil that Allah had placed and concealed this sin from the eyes of the public and society, he goes and he tears this veil open. In other words, he goes and he brags about his sins. فَيَهْتِكُ sitra, he tears open this sitr, this cover, this curtain which Allah has placed. Whereas the entire night Allah Ta'ala, وَقَدْ بَاتَ يَسْتُرُهُ رَبُّهُ, Allah had concealed this sin. Allah had concealed this sin. So Allama Ibn Qayyim has mentioned that the heart actually experiences some change. You and I might not see it. And he says, there is what you call as khasful qalb. Khasafa in Arabic means to sink. And it goes down and down and down. It becomes debased. It becomes low. And this is when a person will find himself. He said, لَا يَزَالُ جَوَّالًا فِي الْقَاذُورَاتِ وَالْمَعَاصِي وَالذُّنُوبِ. He'll keep on roaming around sins and sins and sins and sins. He'll be clubbing, he'll be whining, womanizing. All the time gambling in filth. Only sins will come out of his tongue. He'll only look at and watch and observe filth and haram. He'll be glued to the pornographic sites of the internet. And even though not far away his own halal wife may be sitting there and his innocent children, but he will take pleasure in this filthy life. This immoral life. And brothers, this is the reality. Because not one or two, hundreds of people are all writing about the same type of life where they can actually experience al-wahsha, a detachment, like a person in the wilderness, in a jungle, where he does not feel any comfort. There is a breakage, there is a detachment. He's feeling so forlorn, he's feeling so terrible, he's feeling wretched, he feels miserable. He does not feel a contact with his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become angry with him. Why? نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. Because he has forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah also ignores him. And Allah does not give him what the mashayikh and scholars have written, اللَّذَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. He won't have istilzadu ta'at. He won't enjoy his salah. He won't enjoy his dhikr. He won't enjoy his tilawat. And if you look at the books of seerah and history and the biographies of sahaba, how they will be so absorbed in the ibadat. They could stand for so long hours and recite Quran. And why don't we find that type of enjoyment in our lives? Because there is this wahsha, desolation. Person feels all desolate, he feels miserable, he feels uneasy, he's not comfortable. And slowly, this connection with Allah, when it is broken, then even with people, and especially in the company of pious people, he'll feel very restless. He will not find himself going towards the masjid. He will not want to perform Hajj and Umrah. He will not want to do any good works of deen. He will not want to be in the company of the pious. But he'll move away, he'll drift away. And he'll spend his weekend and all his spare time with evil company, with people committing zina and filth. So this is when the heart goes down, the soul. And in fact, he has mentioned maskhul qalb, very frightening, where the heart and the soul takes the shape of that animal. Similar to what, or that animal that behaves in a similar fashion to any sin that he has committed. So in fact, it takes the musk, it becomes disfigured, it takes the form, the shape of even swines and apes and snakes. May Allah save us. But when a person turns to Allah and he tries his level best, Allah says, وَقِهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ وَمَنْ تَقِي السَّيِّئَاتِ يَوْمَئِذٍ فَقْدْ رَحِمْتَ. When the angels make dua, for the believers, for those who repent, Wallah, you save them from sins. On that day of Qiyamah, the person who had saved himself from sins in this world, and he did not treat sins to just be minor, but he thought, and like how the hadith says, and he deemed sins to be like a huge mountain hovering above his head, and he was afraid that just now it might collapse upon me. And therefore, he was worried and concerned, he must not commit sins. Otherwise, it's like a mountain that's going to fall upon me and collapse upon me any time. Unlike a person who is a fasiq, a fajir, an open sinner, he treats sins like a little fly that comes on his nose and he just wards it off with his hands. He's not bothered. But that person who is bothered about committing sins, he's very careful. Then on the day of Qiyamah, he is saved. He gets faqad rahimta, wallah, you will show mercy upon such a person. خَلِّ ذُنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا, the poet says, that leave out sins, big and small. فَذَاكَ التُّقَى, That is taqwa. وَصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ شَوْكٍ. And he says, behave like that person who is walking in a very thorny land. Very thorny area, there are a lot of bushes. And there are thorns scattered all over. يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى. He'll be very cautious and aware of whatever he's seeing, that no thorn must prick him. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً. He says, don't deem any sin to be small and minor. Why? فَإِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَىٰ. You see a huge mountain. What is it in reality? It is a heap, a pile of stones that have gathered together, and you've got a huge mountain. So these little sins that become it becomes bigger and bigger, and it just adds and adds and adds to the heap of sins, and then it becomes like a mountain of sins. And then he has mention of naksul qalb, where the soul and the heart becomes inverted. Brothers, this is very dangerous. And this happens today. When a person then, فَلَا يَرَى الْحَقَّ إِلَّا بَاطِلًا وَلَا يَرَى الْبَاطِلَ إِلَّا حَقًّا. Allahu Akbar. When the heart has reached this stage, this ebb, then he will see falsehood to be truth, and he will deem truth to be false. Rasulullah made a dua, اللهم أرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا. Allah, show us truth to be true and truth. Quran, Hadith, Sunnah. He won't find any flaws. He won't say, I only follow the Quran. What is Sunnah? What is Hadith? I only follow Quran, Kitabullah, it is sufficient for me. Why? His heart has become diseased. There is no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. His heart has become weakened. He's blind to the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will ignore totally. In fact, he will find flaws in Hadith and in Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is real, what is truth, what is haq from Allah, he will regard that to be batil. And what is falsehood, and he will just follow his whims and fancies and desires. And that will seem to be the right way for him. May Allah protect us. Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah and other ulama and scholars have mentioned the harms of sin. I didn't realize the time has already expired. But what does sin, what is the effects of sin? Hirmanul rizq. It deprives a person of his sustenance. In al-abda. La yuhramir rizqa bidhanbi yusibu. A person is deprived of sins, deprived of rosy because of sins that he perpetrates. Sustenance that Allah was ready to dish out to you and give you. And Allah wanted to see whether you're going to be obedient or disobedient. Disobedient, sorry, you will not get the sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprives a person of ilm. Hirmanul ilm. Why? Ilm is noor from Allah. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, very famous incident, he complains, Shakawtu ila waki'in, ustadi. Shakawtu ila waki'in. Suha hifzi, I complained to Waki, my ustad, on my weak memory. And we know the memory of Imam Shafi rahmatullah was very, very good, very strong. But he says, I had a weak memory once. I complained to my ustad, and فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي. He said, he advised me that you should abandon all sins. Why? فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. No, ilm is a noor. It is light from Allah. وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُعْطَى لِعَاصِي. And the light of Allah can never be given to a disobedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are depriving ourselves of knowledge of Quran and Hadith. We are depriving ourselves of rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hirmanu ta'ah. And we are depriving ourselves of becoming more obedient to Allah and doing more deeds, good deeds. Why? Good deeds attract good deeds and evil deeds attract evil deeds. This is the golden rule. Person does good. He makes wudu, what will happen? Automatically he'll find, he'll perform salah. And he'll make salah, he'll make some dhikr, he'll make dua. How many deeds he's performed? But when he goes to the club, he'll play cards, he'll listen to music, there'll be women around, and one sin leads to another. And then he sees everything around him becomes so tightened. And he finds that his umur bi ta'assur in all his matters. Difficulty. He'll see, I don't know what's happening. It's just one after the other. This problem and that problem. And it's just not ending. He's not realizing. He may be performing his salat. He may be doing his faraid. But at the same time, he's drinking this poison of sins.
and he's harming himself. And that is why Allah says, those who perpetrate sins and those who do righteous deeds, how can they be equal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects such a person. Nasullaha fa nasiyahum, they have forgotten Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces a person who becomes a flagrant sinner and who makes up, he makes no amends, he does not make any tawbah. وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to disgrace any person, then there can be no person who can honor him. Respected brothers and elders, let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say that good deeds, it creates a glow on the face. Person may be dark skinned even, but because of the good deeds, the righteous deeds he performs, Allah gives him a certain glow, nur on his face. And there'll be nur in his qalb. And there'll be abundant rizq for him. And the makhluk, the people will begin to love him. But the person who is a sinner, you find all the things contrary to what I've mentioned. His face will become dark, his heart will become dark, and people will not love him in the world. Imam Uzayy rahmatullah used to mention that when I commit a sin, I can see the effects of the sin when my own wife, my khadim, my servant, or my animal that I ride, everything suddenly has become disobedient to me. Allah causes the people then to be disobedient to this person. Why? Because now he has become in the prison of shaitan. Fi sijni shaitan, may Allah save us. Imagine being entrapped and imprisoned by shaitan. You have become the slave and the captive of shaitan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be in his group, Hizbullah, not in Hizbul Shaitan. So respected brothers and elders, as I mentioned in the beginning, it whilst the doors of Tawbah are open. And we know the benefits of Tawbah, and we know the vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we should not become brazen and commit and perpetrate sins and be so flagrant and just violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just continue our life with that. Because it will only bring us weakness in body, weakness in the soul. It will take us away and deprive us of all the good du'as Rasulullah made for us. And we are getting the curse of Allah Rabbul Izzat. May Allah Ta'ala protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.